Welcome to the Kaiju Podcast. I'm Ralph.
I'm Jorge.
And today we are talking about Godzilla Raids Again.
1955.
And Gigantus the Fire Monster.
1958?
That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, we watched both.
Yeah. Yeah, and all deference to the original, but there were still some things in this remake that they threw in there that was definitely added some entertainment value for me.
Right. So, like, it wasn't as extreme as Gojira and Godzilla King of the Monsters, which we also did together, where they, like, shot full scenes. There was a little bit of weird stuff like that.
Well, I was looking, and a little bit I was reading about it. Apparently, they 1959 was Gigantus. There was a plan to shoot extra fight scenes, and they were going to make it was going to be something like the Volcano Monsters, was what it was going to be called. Okay. And Toho even went so far as to make two new suits for it, and they were going to attack Chinatown. And they were like, I think it was maybe San Francisco, they were going to go after Chinatown. And then the suits got lost, ran out of money, and that thing got scrapped, and so then it ended up being this kind of patchwork, throw a lot of stock footage in there and turn it into that.
Yeah, but it was like more than just stock footage, which obvious stuff with changes is like voiceover. You get the voiceover. I feel like Gigantus feels like an audiobook version of Godzilla Raids Again.
Oh, that's interesting.
And I was like, okay, this is weird, because he's just, the narrator is just telling us what is on screen.
It's like, or if you had like a Peter Pan record telling you the story.
Right.
It definitely, yeah, you're right. That's
or it's
a good
like,
point.
Or it's like radio Super drama. It's like Super Friends, where it's telling you exactly what you're seeing.
It's a totally, yeah.
So that enough, like, even though the movies are very similar, that enough kind of kept it entertaining on the second watch, because I watched them like day after each other.
Yeah, me too.
But what was good is also is you are able to like, without, because when you watch it the first time, when you watch Godzilla Raids Again, you don't think what you should be taking notes about. But the second time, it's close enough to where you see the changes they made. So like,
yeah, you know, there's definitely parts like at the end, at the big fight. I mean, the big fight between Anguirus and Godzilla, I just started just sitting there and watching it.
Right.
I just liked it and just kind of just kind of enjoying it, not writing anything down. Like, we're definitely in the, in the later stage of this series where, like, we started out, I'm like trying to write like play by play of the fight. But this show was just kind of like really just kind of enjoying it. It was really great, and it was really great knowing that it was this is the second go at it, you know, basically.
Right.
This is really the first go at two monsters fighting each other.
Uh-huh.
And so enjoyable.
I think also what's nice about it is it's the only Godzilla fighting movie in black and white.
Yeah.
So going into it, we know that we haven't seen this footage reused in some other movie.
Oh, right.
So we know it's all new to us, even though we watched it two times in a row back to back. But it's nice not having to, like, when you watch like Son of Godzilla and you're like, oh, these are the praying mantises. We've already seen this fight in, you know, Godzilla Revenge. So that was kind of nice. What's crazy to me is that even like just right off the bat, these two are fighting.
Right. They start fighting.
I think it's like 8 minutes in the Japanese version and then like 9 minutes in the American version or something. But these guys, these pilots, these fishing scouts, they land on this island and immediately they're treated to Godzilla and Anguirus fighting each other. Mm-hmm. And it's like what I thought was kind of interesting is that they still call him Godzilla, obviously, in the Japanese version.
Right.
In the American version, they call him Gigantus. But they keep the storyline of the original Godzilla intact. Whereas in the Japanese version, it says, oh, this is another Godzilla. And in the in the American version, he says, we built the oxygen destroyer. It killed a monster just like this, but this is a different one. So they renamed it.
Right. And in the American version, they're closer relatives. Like they're
they're in the same family.
Yeah, they're both like Anguilosaurs or something.
Yeah.
Which is why they kept in the, all God like Godzilla's roars actually were ended up being Anguilosaur roars.
Right. That was kind of weird too.
Yeah.
So yeah, the differences, although are kind of like small, they're like really important changes.
Yeah,
because obviously this is the sequel to Godzilla, and in Godzilla Raids Again, it still has the origin story of the H-bomb and the fallout from that creating these creatures, whereas in the American version, like, these creatures existed dormant in some sort of prehistoric land, and the atomic bomb, like, awoken them?
Right.
I guess. So it's weird. But that was also funny, is in the Japanese version, we get Yamane, who makes a return, who I was really happy to see. Takashi Shimura is, one of my favorite dudes in these movies. He shows the footage from the first movie.
Yeah.
In Godzilla Raids Again over silence. And it's kind of eerie.
Right.
And the second one they have,
yeah, there's no sound.
Right. You just hear the flickering of the projector.
It's so much more real.
Right. And then the second one you get a voiceover, but they added footage.
Yeah. That was the added footage was my favorite part of the whole movie.
Right.
Of Gigantus.
Because did they just grab stuff? Did they make stuff? I couldn't.
No, that's just grabbed. That's from different other movies.
Okay.
I think there might be some from Lost World. There's some from, there's some from A Million Years BC, the old black and white one, uh-huh. Not the Raquel Welch one. I think that's the one where, like, there's the Gila monster. I think they have, a little crocodile fighting a Gila monster.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite,
yes.
And I don't know what it's from, but it's like two or three guys dressed up as T-Rexes and they're walking around this like kind of desert? Jungly kind of set.
Yeah.
And I mean, they look like they're totally like they had notion of, you know, it's very popular right now where those inflatable T-Rex costumes that people do different things in. It's such a like the precursor to that, but they have this kind of cool like paper mache look to them. And I was just kind of going through YouTube looking for black and white vintage dinosaur footage trying to find out what those are from, and I have no idea.
Okay, so hopefully someone listening to this knows where that's from. Because I was also fascinated by that
footage. I want to see that movie.
Because they were just wandering around. They didn't. Yeah, they were walking. Just aimlessly. There's
no fighting. It's very home movie-ish.
It looked like a test shot.
Yeah.
To see how those costumes moved. I also liked the little creatures coming out of the bubbling water.
Yeah.
Sort of like brontosaurus head. And then there's like more of a frog shape one.
Right.
Those were great too. But yeah, the T-Rex, the trio of T-Rex were my favorite.
It was so funny. All right. Should we start with the first movie, just kind of get into the first movie, and then, or
we could just get into the story,
just keep going and back and forth.
Yeah, we could get into the story and then discuss any kind of differences. I think it's, I like that it's a second Godzilla.
You do?
Yeah. Because, I mean, obviously he died in the first one. Didn't we see his bones?
Yeah, we did.
So, I mean, but there's no...
I've seen bones before.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. I mean, the only thing is like going, oh, there could be hundreds of them somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
You know, it's... the first note I wrote down was, man, you offer her some red bean soup, she'll, you know, she'll keep any secret.
I like those characters. I like the pilots a lot. Yeah. I think the dubbing in the American version was kind of funny.
Paul Frees is one of the voices.
Right. He showed up a couple times. There was like an announcement.
A signature voice, yeah.
There was like an announcement over the... They had like an intercom in the dance club for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
That was like the most Paul Frees-y. But yeah, it's funny. Like, it's like the same group of people, like Key Luke and George Takei.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think we've discussed Paul Frees on here before.
Yeah. The Godzilla fight was sped up.
Yeah. It looks weird.
Yeah. It was a mistake. The director wanted the Godzilla fight to be in slow motion.
Uh-huh.
And instead of
speeding up the film,
cranking it faster, he cranked it slower and he had the opposite effect. But he ended up liking it, so he kept it. Because it's kind of sped up almost. Yeah, it's kind of, you know, it just kind of gives it this extra energy that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And then when they tumble into the water, it goes into slow motion. But it looked, I liked it. I thought it looked cool.
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. I don't know if I liked it. It was unique though. I didn't hate it, but I would like to see it both ways.
I like it because all the fights I thought are great. The suit actors really went for it. They were scrapping. And,
right.
That was really cool. Lots of flipping people on their back, and it was really, really fun fights.
And like somersaults in the buildings and stuff.
Yeah. Great destruction too.
Right.
Really the big Osaka Tower destruction.
Uh-huh. It also had like that animated cracks.
Yeah, forming that. Kinda, I loved all that.
Yeah. So this movie does something that we love, which it's you have a bunch of people standing over maps with tokens of like little tanks and planes and stuff.
And a little wooden cutout.
Yes. This one makes more sense than any of the other ones we've seen so far. Someone just quickly whittled out something to represent Godzilla's kind of basic shape instead of having like a full-blown... you know, perfectly made Bandai figure.
And you can kind of buy that as even being like someone's dinosaur figure, like a child's dinosaur toy, even. Like that could have existed before.
Right. So I appreciated that.
I love them flipping through the dinosaur pictures and the books. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
To identify the dinosaur that they saw.
It felt a little longer in the Japanese version.
Yeah. Also, like the Japanese version, after they picked the guy out, their professor guy he's talking this whole thing about some Polish paleontologist who had this new book that came out and this whole thing like that. But I love old dinosaur art.
Uh-huh.
Because I just love how all the dinosaurs stand upright like that, and their tails are dragging on the ground, and it's just such a great kind of like vintage look,
right?
To it, so I was like looking up like the what book they use in that, because that's clearly just they had like someone had listed what the book was. So I went and found a version of that person's dinosaur book just because I want to look at those old pictures.
Yeah, there's something about those. Like I like over at Disneyland they have like the old like dinosaur diorama.
Yeah,
train.
Yeah,
where
yeah,
it's
yeah.
like they look like I like Jurassic Park changed everything.
Yeah.
Like Jurassic Park made everything feel more weighted in reality and scientific.
Right. I mean, well, it's
instead of fantasy.
Yeah, just that Jurassic Park used it against the you know that it was a fairly recent discovery or that based on I took a dinosaur class when I was in college and there was a thing like where like it was like the way the pelvis bones were shaped determined and they kind of like figured out, you know, they probably were more like this and this pose, and that was a fairly more like a newer discovery. And so Jurassic Park then was based off of the newer information when they were getting advised as to what their dinosaurs should be like.
But it felt more scientific and less fantasy. Like all of those real old dinosaur drawings just seemed like fantasy.
Yeah.
Like that's
I love them because they're also like they're pretty. They're like nicely painted and
And they're usually all colorful.
Yeah, like the old Charles Knight artwork. It's all great.
There is a lot of action in this movie.
Yeah.
This movie is action.
So they made Anguirus an Ankylosaurus.
Yeah.
And they talk about how he's like a meat eater, which is not true. And they also had this thing about how his brain was like from like his thorax to his abdomen, or he had
multiple
two brains.
Yeah.
He had a thorax and abdomen brain, and that supposedly made him more agile.
Huh.
Okay. I was like, all right. If you say so, I didn't know the brains was for that.
I don't know. Maybe I guess one of the brain could be working one side of the body.
Yeah, it's like, this is my hips brain.
Yeah. The prisoner escape.
Yeah.
Okay, so the prisoner escaped. In the regular, in the Japanese version, just felt like a sort of a side story that was happening.
Yeah, but I liked it. Like, I was like, oh, this is an interesting little extra little tidbit to deal with.
Yeah. And then the American version, they kind of say that they're evacuating the whole city, including prisoners, which also.
They said that in the original. They just didn't say it in the narration like that, but they said they had to evacuate the prisons. Was your Godzilla Raids Again a dubbed Godzilla Raids Again or a subtitled Godzilla Raids Again?
Subtitled.
Okay, yeah. So they do. They when they're evacuating the whole town, they also include that they have to evacuate the prisons.
Okay.
Like that is mentioned, but the narration just kind of like makes them even like including this, the worst of the worst. they really kind of like try to paint these guys as extra bad.
Yeah, it's like Con Air.
Yeah.
And they escape by saying that one of them has a seizure.
Right.
That's in the Japanese version. In the American version, it says one of the convicts threw a fit.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting. That whole sequence... It's like a fun little side note, and I guess I didn't realize the first time I watched it that the police commandeer the pilot's car.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize it was them.
Well, they don't commandeer it. They hitch a ride with them.
Right.
It's like, hey, here, follow that car, as opposed to like, hey, we need your car.
Right. And then they chase them. There's this car chase, which ends in a sweet model shot.
Beautiful truck crash.
Yeah.
There's
something about the models, like,
by the way, vehicles. In the opening, in the opening credits of Gigantis, they spoil some of the great bits.
Right.
Because that crash going into, you know, whatever, it's like a power plant kind of thing, that's in the opening credits.
Yeah, but luckily I had seen the movie already.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I thought the same thing.
I thought the prisoners ran very funny. They had like kind of a funny. They're almost like Keystone copy the way they were.
I think it was the film was also sped up a little bit too.
Yeah, maybe.
Like I felt like, oh, this is how American movie studios did cop footage, so we'll do the same or something. Because yeah, I thought the exact same thing. I thought it felt like Keystone Cops, and I'm wondering if it's just because it was sped up, if they felt that was a thing to do.
I liked the Godzilla tail swipe that knocked out the lighthouse.
Yeah, it was just like the teeniest. It was the teeniest model.
Just cute little thing. Cute little model.
Well, what's funny is so Godzilla shows up to the. He shows up on shore on Osaka. I don't know what he was planning on, but Anguirus shows up as well, and then they just start fighting here.
Yeah.
They're like, let's just take this fight over here.
Right.
Like, it just seemed like a much better place for them to duke it out.
Right.
I don't know if they had any motivation other than just to beat each other up while they're over here.
Yeah. It's just like, oh, you're here. You tried to get away. Did you? Boom. Yeah. They just get back into it. Totally. I love all that stuff when they have like a bunch of jets in formation.
Uh-huh.
All those like little model jets.
Yeah, I like they kept showing that one shot over and over again, but then they switched over to the triangle formation later.
Yeah.
Which I thought was interesting. Yeah,
it's like you can and this is one of the times where I really was like I could see the strings pretty well. The one in the front and the one in the back to kind of keep it steady and stuff, and then this Godzilla is cool. It's a mix of there's puppet stuff, there's costume stuff, and they have like the kind of like the atomic breath is like steam venti.
And then there's things catch on fire.
Yeah. And there's the really great jet that catches on fire, hits the water. There's like the extra little explosive splash the water. That was such a great sequence.
Yeah, that's the one where when it gets hit, it like does like this huge loop. It's like a cool shot of it doing like a it's like a camera move or something, but it looks like the plane's doing a loop.
There's a lot of biting, like they're
neck biting.
Yeah, so much like Anguirus biting Godzilla a lot. I would just think of this Anguirus design. It's interesting. It clearly looks older than color Anguirus that we've seen.
Yeah, his head, the spikes on his head look like a crown or something.
Yeah.
It's
yeah, I mean none of his spikes seemed like they were sharp in any way.
Yeah.
And his face is the puppet heads are interesting because they're kind of like they have this quality. They kind of look like a mix between a Muppet and like a stop motion type of like Ray Harryhausen type of doll. Because there's like a chunky texture to them. But it was interesting because like there's a lot of close ups where Anguirus almost looked like he had like the white eyes from you know, like he didn't. Uh-huh. Yeah, the eyes were very like just kind of like little orphan Annie eyes.
Yeah, like the what was that? Godzilla GMK.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like there was a couple of shots of Godzilla like that too.
Yeah.
Which always makes it look creepier. I always like that.
The prisoners going down to the subway was a pretty good composite like magic trick thing.
Yeah, there's some good shots and I think the model work was really good too.
Yeah. Like the way they put him in there and then they filled it with water and then you're able to just kind of make him disappear.
Yeah. And usually with the model work, it's hard to do water to scale down. But I thought it looked really good coming down the stairs and stuff. So I guess those guys are dead.
Yeah. I think that's what we're assuming. They can't get away. It's you need the poetic justice of.
Yeah.
That they can't let him get away.
Some of my other favorite model work was Godzilla in the snow, like in the valley.
Yeah. So well, the
like the POV from the seaplane.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that got okay. So when they're flying over, so this is you mean when they trap him at the end?
When he first find him.
Yeah, they first there's just him in the water. You know, they had like you just kind of like see like the top of his head and the beginning of his neck and stuff swimming. And then when there's that shot that he's just standing there still as they fly over. Apparently that was supposed to be like a wind-up toy Godzilla, but the walking looks so bad. They said, forget it. Just have him stand there, which is why, cause there's kind of an awkward shot of just him just still.
Right. It looked like he was frozen.
Yeah. Like he's holding his breath.
Yeah.
Did he see me?
Yeah.
Oh, but if also, I think that's real ice when they start dumping it on him,
like ice cubes and stuff. Yeah, there was a lot of cool stuff like that. Like the it just looked like they got ice cubes and filled a room full of ice cubes. There's something that happens in the American version that I don't understand, and I don't remember if it was in the Japanese version, but when what's his name, is it Hiroshi?
Which one?
The pilot that crashes.
Kobayashi.
Kobayashi dive bombs Godzilla in the American version, and he says, "Now you must die."
Yeah.
And then he dive bombs him, but he has no like weapons or anything. I don't know what he was trying to do.
In the Japanese version, there's something like, basically the jets were coming,
right?
But he had to keep Godzilla there so he wouldn't wander off or whatever. Uh-huh. And so he goes and he ends up, he flies in too close, ends up crashing into the thing. But I liked how him crashing and causing that little avalanche is what gave him the idea that, like, oh, here's what we got to do.
Right. Right.
Rather than shoot at him, shoot for the mountains.
Yeah. It seemed like in the American version, he did it on purpose. Like, he says, now you must die. And so he's like he figured it out, but didn't tell anybody. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, he was sacrificing himself. But yeah, this plan is pretty cool. I like this plan.
Except Godzilla can breathe fire, essentially.
Right.
So he just kind of gives in to this plan.
It works.
They get out, they pull the boat up. The little boat coming up was great. And then they all got to like roll the tumblers out to let him fire, to trap him in there while they bury him in the ice. I mean, what I liked the most about it was that it's like, oh, good, he's just buried.
Yeah. So well, we've seen what happens after.
We'll get more Godzillas. Don't worry. You know, that aspect I liked about it.
Because this is what's cool about this is it's a direct sequel. And then the movie that came out after this was King Kong versus Godzilla.
Yeah.
And that's where the submarine runs into the iceberg and Godzilla comes out of it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a nice like continuity. I don't know when they stopped. I don't know when they stopped doing that, but I like that this is a direct sequel.
Yeah, I feel like it was when they started ignoring the, like, there's that one per time where they're like, all right, all the ones that came after the first one don't count. And they started resetting things.
Yeah. Or like in like Godzilla against Mechagodzilla from like 2002 or whatever is a direct sequel to the original Godzilla, where they take the Godzilla bones and turn that into Mechagodzilla. But then there's a new Godzilla. That's weird. But yeah, I like that this is a direct sequel, especially bringing back Yamani.
Yeah. So we're already at the end, but so the heavy bite on Angus's neck that kills him, and then he lights him on fire.
Done. So I'm wondering when Angus comes back in the movies, if he just shows up. or if it's explained. Because he was pretty dead by the end of this.
How they got along. Well,
yeah. He just shows up.
Oh, this one's another Angus. He's a friendly one. He's one of the good ones.
Yeah. Godzilla's oldest friend.
They call them the bastard spawn of the hydrogen bomb.
Yeah.
That was a cool title. There's this really another of these side story bits that's in it is the whole thing about Kobayashi needing a woman.
Yes.
Trying to find a woman.
And there's a girl he likes.
Yeah, and that his boss, when he goes to the Hokkaido branch, is going to help him, basically. Uh-huh. And that he gets the nickname of Groom from everybody. And there's that whole thing.
Right.
Godzilla smacking the plane down. Yeah. I mean, that's basically what I got for the first movie.
Yeah, that's all I have for both.
Okay. I liked it. I liked the first movie a lot. The second one, now, so much footage gets thrown into the second one.
Uh-huh.
Like the nightclub scene, but before we cut to the nightclub scene, there's all this other nightclub stuff.
Right. It's like stock footage of like nightlife in Tokyo.
Yeah, but you know what? There's also some stock footage from like World War II era, and they block out a couple swastikas.
Oh, really? I didn't notice that.
I haven't seen the original picture of the swastika, but there's a nightclub scene that if you look at it, there's like a couple gray circles that are kind of floating in space.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that.
And that is actually the apparently this is the story. It's the swastikas or it's the swastika and I don't know how the Japanese flag may have changed from World War II to this time period or not, but yeah, I was like. But it's in this scene, the gray circles. Where they're turning the parasols. But there is so much footage of so many different like shows,
right?
Including like one that's like it's all like white people. There's like a blonde woman who's in front of like a bunch of like scantily clad dancers and stuff. It's just like there's a ton of that footage,
right.
There's a whole bunch of stock footage at the beginning. I mean, I kind of like the rocket stuff. And then there's all this stuff about, like, fishing villages in Japan. There's, like, so much footage. The Price of Progress.
Yeah, there's, like, the wartime footage where there's, like, this animated stuff where it's, like, clearly from, like, World War II and they're saying, like, the monsters are going to spread or whatever. And it looks like some sort of airstrike animation. Where, like, the sun rises, it's like the Japanese flag.
Yeah. And just all this stuff about just fishing in Osaka and how, you know, it's like this is the industry that so many jobs are dependent on. Trying to please a woman is like swimming in the ocean. Oh, yeah. So then in the Gigantus, they try to make, like, the Ankylosaur even worse. It's like murderers. And that in the book, they say that it may come alive after, you know, years of hibernation. And, you know, it could wipe out the human race. Like, I was like, this is in a dinosaur book?
Yeah.
And the movie and how the whole movie starts with basically like the origin of the world,
like, oh,
the whole
yeah.
planet and like monsters crawling out of the water. It's so much, it's so full of narration. Oh, you know what else? It was ridiculous. Was they had newspapers that would kind of like the newspaper headline that's like Osaka Times, and it's basically like a New York Times.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's all written in English with, like, English-style columns.
Right.
But it's the Osaka Times. Yeah, the castle was pretty good.
Yeah, I'm glad there was a lot of that stuff in it, and it wasn't just a dub.
You know, it was really funny. Because, like, in Hokkaido, how it's snowing the whole time.
Right.
Those shots of the boss in Hokkaido. No. Oh. The boss in Hokkaido, he's always, like, looking out the window at the snow like he's in a Christmas movie.
I thought you were talking about the snow superimposed over the jet or the airplane shots.
Yeah. So, I thought, well, there's a couple... I don't know. I feel like there is some. There could be some potentially racist depictions in this. That
through
were
the voices
subtle more. No, I don't mean that kind of racist. When they have the shot of like the night, like the Osaka neon lights. There's one image that kind of looks like a blackface caricature.
Oh,
there's like a pipe. This is the only one that's a face. It's because it's accenting the lips a lot that I was like, I don't know about this. And then there's also a shot of a radio, and there's a couple dongles that are hanging off the radio.
Okay.
That look like basically little dolls of black figures in grass skirts.
Huh.
And I was like, oh, come on. Even like you can't. I was like, they still could sneak in the racist native depiction in a movie like this that has no natives in it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Problematic.
Right. Because I thought some of the voices in the Americanized version were a little much. It's really, I don't know.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, well, no, like the fact that we know Paul Frees is one of them. It's like we know right. that it's not all, you know, Japanese people doing it. I don't know. I don't know what to do about that.
Nothing, I guess.
Just watch the Japanese one.
Yeah.
But you got to watch the little movie in the, unless you can find the original.
Yeah.
Whatever the original footage is.
I don't have
anything. Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, I dug it. I mean, I felt like it was the first, like, okay, so now we're just going to put Gigantus away and just talk about Godzilla Raids Again as it is and how it is in the thing. Because we already kind of talked about the differences and stuff, and Gigantus doesn't quite hold up to Godzilla Raids Again in the canon. It's the closest. It's the closest I thought to possibly cracking the top five that we've had in a while.
I like that. It's crazy how action heavy it is, but it doesn't get monotonous.
Mm-hmm.
Like we haven't watched Final Wars yet, and that's one of the things that I think of Final Wars is that it's monotonous. There's so much action in it that you just kind of want it to end. This movie didn't feel that way, and I think it has to do with a lot of the different settings and stuff.
Yeah, and I just
because like the first fight,
some of my favorite monster on monster fighting.
Yeah, the first, because it's just them wrestling.
It's just, but scrapping hard. Yeah. Like, they're into it.
Look, I like the first fight. We see them kind of just in the crack of the valley. Right. And so you kind of just get bits and pieces of it. And then you get, the next one is on the dock. And, like, every time they tumble, there's, like, huge, like, plumes of dust fly up from the ground and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff's really well done. And it's like they didn't really... I like about it? It doesn't feel choreographed.
Yeah.
It's like, let's just...
It's not choreographed, and they're not being precious with the suits.
Right. Or the sets. Like, because there's parts where the tail, like, knocks a building kind of a little bit tilted funny.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter. It's just like, we're gonna stick you in the middle of all these buildings that just we built and just go for it. And but save the tower for the end, because we're
gonna I think there was also this thing that they were talking about, how like the tower was really well built and really hard to go down, and they even went so far as to, like, that was part of, like, when they were promoting it, talking about how hard it was for them to get that tower down.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, there's something I really liked that was really, it just felt more raw.
It's,
we get into later movies where they feel like they're fighting within an area, and you're just like, okay, the finale of this fight is going to be they knock over this building that they've been avoiding the whole time. Right. So it's nice to just see them not caring. It's like we have enough cameras to cover the shot. Just go destroy everything.
Yeah. Is that, do you think that's because someone else was directing and that was just their,
I don't know. Maybe it's because this is the first one. I don't know if there's any other monster versus monster movies, but if you don't know how to do it,
not when it's two costumers. Yeah. I think I'm pretty sure it's the first, as far as like, costume guys, unless,
so they probably
unless
did this
those
one.
Two T-Rexes at some point.
But it's like, you know what I mean though, like, you know, this is the first time you do that. Okay, we're gonna have you guys fight in the set and then knock down the buildings, and they're like, oh man, I wish we could have got more shots before you knocked down the buildings. And so every subsequent movie since then, they took more care into doing the choreography. But there's something about this where I just felt like they just went for it, and I like that more. I don't know how many times we've seen that.
Yeah, and I just, the amount, because, like, the way the models break apart, because there's a lot of, like, kind of close-up, like, camera, like, pointing up towards the models as they get crumbled and they get destroyed. And I was like, it's, you know, the little details of that they're not hollow, you know, there's structure inside that you get to see bits as they break. It's just so well done.
And then in Godzilla, you mostly have either Godzilla kicking something. And wasn't the Godzilla's feet like made of concrete or something? And then you have mostly explosions and stuff. And so in this time around, maybe they just didn't know that a guy in a foam suit wouldn't knock a building down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. There's something about this that feels more fly by the seat of your pants.
Man, this, you know, the whole, how you were saying that, basically, it's like the second movie was all like narration telling you what you're seeing on the screen. It's especially bad when they're watching the movie.
Yeah.
Of the old footage says, Godzilla. It's almost like just like someone watching it and they describe
for the first time.
He can even pick up a trade car in his mouth.
Well, that's one of the things. That's one of the things, as they say that the train, he picks up train cars like they're toys, and it's like, you can't bring up that. You can't.
Yeah, we know
that. We know there don't. You're messing the illusion that it's not a toy. So
he fights other monsters like a man in a suit.
But yeah, all that footage. It's funny that they cut out a lot of the original Gojira footage from that, but they did leave in that one POV from the train going up the tracks. Like, that shot's so good. But I mean, I like, that's one of the things I liked more in this version than in the American version, was all the sort of extra, not Godzilla stuff we saw.
So in that movie.
Yeah. So it's like that whole video presentation I liked more in the American version. I do like that it was silent in the Japanese version.
Yeah, I
like
that.
I mean, I liked all the primordial ooze stuff.
Not only that, it's like, not only was that silent, but also silent in terms of like they also added all the stuff like, hey, get the lights, get the curtains. They added all that other stuff too.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about this one. It was really enjoyable.
I guess it doesn't take our top five out, though.
I don't think so.
No, it can't.
What's number five? Godzilla versus Mechagodzilla?
Yeah, it holds strong.
You know what's funny about that? I don't know if I brought this up yet, but you always tell me, like, when we talk about that movie, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, it might be top five, and you always bring up the fact that there's a Godzilla, and his skin peels off, and it's a Mecha Godzilla.
Yes!
But you never bring up the fact that King Caesar's in it, which I forget, that's the King Caesar movie.
I forgot.
But the next time you're like, oh yeah, but this is the Godzilla movie with King Caesar, I'm just gonna be like, oh, you're right. You're completely right.
Oh.
Like, that's the thing that's not gonna keep something like this off of the top five.
The thing with the hang up with King Caesar is that it's such a long song.
But he's in the movie. He's in the
Wake
movie with
up,
the
King Caesar, jeez.
But I mean, as far as selling it for me. If I'm on the fence about keeping that at number five, like, I love that Godzilla has his skin ripped off and it's Mega Godzilla underneath, and you have the gorilla aliens,
like,
all of that stuff is great. But if you want to sell me on keeping it in the top five, all you have to do is say King Caesar, and I'll be like, Godzilla, oh yeah, shit, you're right.
Godzilla and King Caesar versus Mega Godzilla.
Yeah. Even though King Caesar just hid behind rocks the whole time.
Yeah.
But it kind of adds a little charm to King Caesar. With all that buildup of that whole, like, 5 minutes of song, he really doesn't do much to add to the fight.
But, yeah, and just, like, because, like, now that we know we have an end date, and it's kind of like, there's a lot more reflecting on all the movies we saw and stuff. And I was like, I still think War of the Gargantuas, I'd put it above Raids Again too, maybe. As far as just it's really, these are based on what would I want to put on anytime.
Yeah.
That's really what it's based on.
Yeah. And I think Rodan, and I think the other one, the Frankenstein Conquers the World, I think those two are like, I could literally put that on right now and have a great time.
Yeah.
All right. It's not in my top five, but for me it boosts Anguirus up a bit.
Yeah. Yeah, it's great scene, like, mean.
It's that, and it seems cool. Showcased instead of just sort of like, we always just see that one shot of him on Monster Island as the camera helicopters around him and he's shouting up at the camera, but it's cool to see him just go head to head, because a lot of times from here on out they're allies,
right?
So yeah, that was kind of fun too, and it was nice that we didn't have a lot of footage. There wasn't any footage from this movie that we had already seen in like movies that came after,
right?
So it was all kind of fresh.
It's solid.
Yeah, it's really good. It made me want to get the Blu-rays
because
I don't have the Blu-rays. And I kind of was holding hope for Criterion to release them digitally on iTunes. But I was like, I don't know. I don't think I could wait if that even's going to happen. And I was like, man, this would look, I would watch this again right away on a Blu-ray.
So I just reminded that pan across when Osaka's destroyed, and it's just kind of like all the broken city.
It reminds me of the opening shot of Godzilla King of the Monsters.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, is it the same shot? I'm like, no, because that was in nighttime and this is daytime.
Yeah.
So it's like after everything gets destroyed, they like get a couple of shots of the rubble. And it looks, yeah, sometimes that stuff just holds up so nice. Like you get like the power lines, and you get like some walls are still standing and you can see through the windows. It just looks so good. God, models are awesome.
Yeah, and just because, like, the way, like, and it's just that whole thing, how it's, like, because, like, there's foreground and background, so the way those images move, it's just so cool looking.
And I think it looks a lot better in black and white.
Yeah.
I think it adds a little bit more of a darker tone in black and white,
I mean, Gojira is really dark.
Right.
Just because there's, like, this ominous quality to it. This one's a lot lighter for sure.
Right.
With all the love story stuff. Or the thing that the old war buddies and getting drunk. and all that business.
Yeah.
It was like, where are we going with this story?
Yeah, and then the general or whoever walks in and they all get like super serious.
Yeah, that was the boss of the Hokkaido.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and they're like,
it
wasn't
the army, they were the fishers.
Hey, the ship was sunk.
Yeah.
Like, oh boy.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I think it's a good follow up. It's kind of, it's like, yeah, like if you're missing any sort of like action in the first Godzilla movie, this is a good follow up.
Yeah, it's a good, yeah. This could possibly be top 10. It just doesn't crack top 5.
Right. Is Varin? Varin's not in our top 5. Varin, no. I remember being surprising. And I remember, like, that's also, I think, benefited from being black and white.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's something about the black and white I think really... Because there's only two Godzilla movies in black and white.
Yeah.
Which is kind of crazy.
And just we're used... The black and white's, like... The black and white is, as far as like from just our experience, is usually stop motion monsters.
Right. Or American monsters.
That's what I mean. Yeah. Like the American monsters are stop motion. And,
yeah.
And so getting black and white costume work is just great.
Which was kind of weird about Gigantis, that version, the music in it was cookie cutter American monster movie. Yeah,
so like generic.
Right.
Yeah.
And then the Japanese version, obviously, is awesome. But, yeah. Enjoyed it. I thought it was cool. I didn't mind watching it twice in a row. I feel it's the only way we can do this. I don't think it would be enough to split it up into two episodes. Because I think Godzilla and Godzilla King of the Monsters, and then Godzilla 1985 and Godzilla Returns, I think those would be all as our other double right. feature ones. So it kind of fits right in there. Like, we've done one of those a year.
Yeah, if we knew that about Varin, we probably would have done it for that too.
Yeah, but you know what? I think we were glad because there's only one Varin. We found out there's only one Varin movie, so, and we liked it so much that we're like, okay, well. We were kind of excited to kind of watch it again.
Yeah.
So. Because, oh man, Varin's awesome. That's something that needs to be brought back. A really good Varin movie. Because it had kind of the mystical stuff in it, like the fantasy stuff, but it was just, I don't know. He's cool. Let's talk about next episode. This is definitely a crapshoot. it's gonna be interesting. Like, I think that's what's kind of fun about doing this final like kind of year of like just grabbing stuff that we've seen, so we don't know.
This is just based on pictures we saw on the internet,
right? So the next movie is gonna be Daigoro versus Goliath, which I believe is a giant hippopotamus. Something like that. Is that this one? I think so.
I was like, it's like a Scooby-Doo. And
it's definitely Hanna-Barbera-esque for sure. I'm excited for it. We'll have a link up for there for that on kaijubot.com. And you can also see our links to our Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Luckily, we're not recording two episodes this week because I am obviously sick. I don't think I mentioned that, but it would have sucked if we had two episodes in a row where I was sick. Because I've seen that happen before. Like, I listen to a podcast. It's a daily podcast, but they clearly record the whole week's worth of shows in one sitting.
Uh-huh.
And so the dude will be like sick every single day of the week. I probably edited out all my coughing, but if my voice sounds different, I'm totally sick. I'm excited for Daigoro versus Goliath. I guess it's a kid's movie, I think.
Yeah.
We're going to find out.
I'm scrolling through pictures of it right now.
I have a feeling there's going to be a lot of questionable stuff. I have a feeling it's going to be like a fever dream.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited.
Yeah, this is
I'm
good.
I'm excited. Hopefully people don't spoil it for us before I watch it, because I don't want people to be like, oh, you're going to watch that piece of garbage? And be like, oh, man. Yeah, right. So, yeah.
Hopefully there'll be something to inspire a text between us.
Oh, boy. Well, luckily, I don't think there's a sequel. So we won't feel obligated to finish out the series.
Yeah.
So there's that. But, yeah, that's all I have. So until next time, I'm gonna go scout some trout, because if I'm gonna be a fisherman, I want to be as far away from the fish as I can. So I'll be in a seaplane.
I'm going to go ask what kind of gifts women like aside from a handbag.
Handbag's pretty solid.
In both languages, handbag was the number one answer. You know what? One thing that was pretty damn good at the very beginning was in the English dub, they matched lips pretty good in some of the stuff they said. I was like going, that looks like he said that.
Right. Yeah, I noticed that too. Because sometimes I watch it, like when you watch the Americanized version, you sit there and kind of think like, what would have it been like in 1959 to sit here and watch this movie? Yeah. And like you think like from a production standpoint, like are the American, the people doing the American version, are they trying to fool Americans into thinking this was made here?
Right.
Because like you'll see trailers nowadays for obviously foreign films where you never see people speak dialogue in the trailer. You only hear like the dialogue off screen. Sure. And you're like, okay, clearly this is like a foreign movie and they don't want me to, they're trying to, you know, fake me out thinking it's not a foreign movie. So I'm wondering, you know, how far they go to make sure that the lips match.
I don't know. Cause I was like, yeah. Cause like at first it was like, I was like, oh, that matches his lips. Until then, because of the point where he speaks into the thing, I was like, oh, now he can say whatever he wants.
Yeah.
Because his mouth is covered.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. Huh. Yeah. But I liked both.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably just watch the Japanese version though.
Yeah, I think so.
Except for the footage, the primordial.
Yeah.
Ooze footage.
Yeah, if you know where the T-Rex footage comes from, I want to know what that is.
Yeah, I'm gonna search too. I'll do a search. All right, man.
There's a YouTube video that's like something like the history of dinosaurs in film, and it basically starts with like Lost World, and it goes progressively through. And yeah, the Gila monster alligator fight is kind of disturbing because it looks like they're just letting them fight each other.
Right.
And the alligator, they put like a Dimetrodon sail in the back of them, and they just basically they let him go at it, and I'm like going, oh, this is unsettling.
Yeah, there was a Flash Gordon serials, they put like they're supposed to be like giant dinosaur type monsters, and it's just like iguanas with like Play-Doh back spikes on them.
Yeah.
And then there's also this underwater city, and they have like real footage of a shark versus an octopus, and I'm like, All right. Next time, Daigoro versus Galath. Excited. Thank you.